What's happening?
What's out there?
What's going on?
In the Arctic.
In the Northern Bering.
In the U.S. Chukchi Sea.
In the Northern Bering and Chukchi Seas.
This is the second of four stories about the Arctic Ecosystem Integrated Survey, or Arctic ICE. It's a big project, one that has scientists examining all aspects of the marine ecosystems of the Northern Bering and Chukchi Seas.
Being a scientist, you want to know everything.
We're interested in
king crab, snow crab, Arctic cod, pollock.
The salmon that you love.
Ice melt.
Food web.
Climate change.
There's so many questions.
Are they consuming prey items that are more from the seafloor?
How that relates to environment.
What that species is.
How the biology of the Chukchi Sea works.
This is a team that you would want out there in the field doing the research.
Support for this story comes from research grants from the North Pacific Research Board, the Bureau of Ocean and Energy Management, and the Alaska Coastal Impact Assistance Program. Music by I Am Dism and DJ Alternative. I'm Amanda Compton. The first part in this series on the Arctic Ice Research Project highlighted why the research was conducted, and here, in part two, we'll explore the daily activities of the project scientists while they were out in the Arctic waters aboard large ships. So, how does it work? The Arctic ice fieldwork was conducted in August and September of 2012 and 13. On each trip, a dozen scientists and crew and thousands of pounds of equipment convened in Dutch Harbor and boarded a 180-foot contracted commercial pollock vessel bound for the Northern Bering and Chukchi Seas.
If you're out there and you don't have what you need, you're just out of luck.
That's Wesley Strasberger of the Alaska Fisheries Science Center. He's part of the team that prepared the Arctic ice research crews with the mountains of equipment for months of scientific studies in the Arctic. We met up at a facility called the Subport, a storage area for scientific equipment in downtown Juneau.
See if there's anything cool sitting in there.
Would you say you have an intimate relationship with this room?
Yes. There's a lot of planning that goes into going out for 30 or 60 days in the Chukchi Sea. I need to figure out how many of these frames do we need to take? What if we lose one? How many extra nets do we need to take?
Jared Weems is the Arctic Ice Program Manager.
Loading the ships of scientific gear prior to and after sailing is general chaos. You're using forklifts to move all the heavy gear. You're definitely firing on all cylinders, and you're basically out on the ocean with what you have and your ingenuity to try and fix or repair whatever you have.
The ship navigated a predetermined route from just offshore of the Kotzebue River Delta north to a few hundred miles off the coast of Barrow. Along the route were stations, areas where the ship would stop, every 15 to 30 nautical miles. The stations extended west from the coast of Alaska to the dateline, the border with Russian waters, which, in places, was over 150 miles from the Alaskan coast. Strasberger explains the activities at each stop.
We essentially chase the food chain with our sampling regime at a station. We start with the water, the physical properties of the water, then we move on to the phytoplankton, and then we move on to the zooplankton, and then last we set the trawl and we collect fish.
To sample the water, what's called a CTD carousel is dropped overboard. The C stands for conductivity, which is measured to calculate salinity. T is for temperature, D for depth. Water measurements are important because they provide basic information on the environment in which everything lives, kind of like why you would have a blood sample analyzed for cholesterol and hormone levels. Again, here's Jared Weems.
Why would we be interested in temperature, rain, and water at all, the weather? All of it contributes to and shapes how healthy an ecosystem is.
The CTD carousel is mounted with bottles that have openings on both ends, so water can pass through them as the instrument travels down until it's at the depth where researchers, like Jared Weems, want to collect samples.
You might wonder how all of these things are happening underwater at the time while you're going, releasing bottles, collecting water, when you can't actually physically close a jar. Well, there's hundreds and hundreds of feet of electronic line wrapped in a steel cable that goes down with the machine.
You can watch the measurements of salinity, temperature, and depth on a screen in the wheelhouse until
we stop at a depth, we're like, hey, we want a sample here.
Then someone on the boat triggers the bottles to close.
And that brings that particular little body of water that's maybe at 40 meters or 50 meters depth.
Or 2,000.
It encloses it and brings that particular sample up.
The water samples collected from the bottles are used to look at things like phytoplankton, the base of the marine food chain.
How much phytoplankton is in the water column is basically analogous to how much food is on your dinner plate. If you don't have very much food or algae in the water column, there's nothing for you to eat or for fish to eat.
Next on the list for sample collection at each station, or stop, is zooplankton. Zooplankton include tiny jellyfish, crustaceans, and other organisms that drift in the ocean and freshwater. They are a primary food source for many fish, whales, and seabirds in the Arctic. To collect zooplankton, the researchers used what's called a bongo toe. They look like a pair of massive bongo drums with a butterfly net attached to them.
And we put these over the side with 100 pounds of lead weights.
Picture a kite flying through the water column.
Once the nets are removed, the zooplankton are poured into a jar and preserved with a formaldehyde solution to analyze on shore.
Basically, we just want to get a snapshot of kind of what zooplankton are in the water column at that time. Then you can see, based on the abundances, where the hot spots are and try and relate that to where the seabirds are at any particular time feeding or the bowhead whales.
The biggest pieces of equipment dropped into the water were the trawl nets, big fishing nets with extended wings that are dragged behind the ship and scoop up fish. They were deployed near the surface and on the seafloor. The fish are brought on board and sorted by species. Measurements were collected on their length, weight, and stomach contents.
All the fish were counted, but only a subset were kept for biological studies.
So if 100 baby Arctic cod were brought up, 5 might be set aside to be delivered to various laboratories. Barcodes are stored with the fish samples, like on produce at a grocery store, but instead of being programmed with information like the price of a piece of fruit, the codes can be programmed with the length of the fish and other information about the environment where that fish was caught. So you can compare that fish sample with the sea surface temperature.
You can look at the diets of those fish and then compare that to the zooplankton that were in the water column. So really it's about integrating almost down to the single fish level what is happening at that particular space and time to each fish.
Advancements like the barcodes, says Weems, have elevated the capabilities of fieldwork.
Technology has really advanced our capacity to integrate science. It's really given us a lot more data to work with, as well as a lot more precision.
One such technological advancement assisting projects like this, and the last equipment we'll go into here, is the acoustic surveys. Acoustic surveys use sound waves to help determine what species and how many of them are in the midwater areas of the ocean. They're like a super fancy fish finder people use on personal boats.
Our last cruise was in 2013 and it is now 2016 and we're just finishing up.
The equipment's back on the shelves, cleaned and calibrated. The nets are stored in Seattle and the researchers are hard at work on the next phase.
There's a lot of work post-cruises that goes into actually synthesizing data and getting research out to the public.
You've been listening to the second story in a 4-part series on an Arctic research project called Arctic Ice. For more information on the project, visit the Arctic Ice webpage on the University of Alaska Fairbanks website. Music by I Am Dism and DJ Alternative. In Juneau, I'm Amanda Compton.